Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Thursday, the 7th of August, the year 2014. Jeff Brown filling in for Shona Strasser, who's out doing theater in the wild. Today we'll get an update on library activities with Beth Weigel and Robert Barr. We'll talk with local filmmaker Sonny Pittman about his new project, Skateboard and Skate Movies. Jennifer Walker will be here to highlight some upcoming parenting workshops. And we'll hear what's happening in town with Sandy Fortier and Arts Up. And Writers Almanac, Pro Note, Music and More today on in Juneau afternoon. For the forecast for tonight, cloudy skies with scattered showers, low temperatures around 52 degrees with light winds. Forecast for Friday, scattered showers in the morning, then rain likely in the afternoon, and high temperatures around 61 degrees.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Crews are battling a wildfire on the Colville Reservation in Washington State. Steve Jackson has more.
Three smaller fires that were believed started by lightning have now converged into what is being called the Devil's Elbow Complex. That fire threatens about 50 structures on the reservation and is burning about 10 miles north of the town of Keller, Washington. The hot, dry conditions in Washington State have resulted in many fires burning around the region. Fire spokeswoman Kathy Moses says there's another complication to the fire on the reservation.
It was approximately 2 years ago when we had a windstorm that came through the area and it knocked down a lot of trees. So there's a lot of slash on the out there in the forest. The fire is burning hot with a lot of that the old dead trees that are still on the ground.
Moses says it's been several years since a major fire has burned on the Colville Reservation. For National Native News, I'm Steve Jackson reporting from Spokane.
As of Thursday morning, the Devil's Elbow Complex fire was not contained and has burned about 7,000 acres. More than 200 firefighters are on the scene. Volunteers in Bethel are working on the Alaska Territorial Guard Memorial Park project. They're a step closer to completion. Local organizers and state military leadership recently dedicated a Wall of Honor. KYUK's Ben Matheson has the story.
The wall lists the names of 1,435 members of the Territorial Guard who served from 31 Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta villages. Buck Bukowski is a member of the ATG Park Committee and says the recognition is overdue.
They were unpaid. All they got was a rifle, which they had to turn back in when they were done. And no recognition until just a few years ago when most of them were already dead.
The Alaska Territorial Guard formed in 1942 in response to the attack in Hawaii and occupation of some Aleutian Islands. Over 6,000 largely Alaska Native members served the country until the ATG disbanded in 1947. Major General Thomas Katkus is Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs and is the Adjutant General in charge of the Guard in Alaska.
I mean, those guys were here in a threatened environment, and when you look the technology back in those days before cell phones, before internet, before the ability to communicate as quickly and as rapidly as we do today, they stood there with an unknown threat coming and band together and basically were prepared to defend their communities.
A tall bronze statue of a guard member in a parka watches over the wall and Veterans Cemetery. The park includes large garden boxes and flags for each community. Committee co-chair Dave Trantham says the group is trying to get an old artillery gun for the site. He told a story about how the guard tricked Japanese spy planes.
So they cut driftwood and stuck it in the mud to represent the artillery piece. I'd like to ask one question, if I may. Did the Japanese invade this part of the country?
The State Department of Military and Veterans Affairs contributed $140,000 for the project, while local companies and organizations donated many thousands more in materials and work. Organizers say it's scheduled to be done in time for Pearl Harbor Day. For National Native News, I'm Ben Matheson in Bethel, Alaska.
A group of Native people protested rocker Ted Nugent's concert in South Dakota Wednesday. James Magaska Swan, founder of the Urban Warrior Society, helped organize the event. He says about 30 people stood outside the Full Throttle Saloon in Sturgis, where Nugent performed. Swan says their actions were in support of two tribal communities that have canceled Nugent's concerts recently, including the Coeur d'Alene tribe in Idaho. The tribe said it was due to what they called Nugent's history of racist and hate-filled remarks. Swan says he doesn't appreciate Nugent wearing a headdress and says their message last night was he was not wanted in Indian country. National Native News has reached out to Nugent for a response. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. With funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
Not voting is not rebelling, it's surrendering. Your voice counts when you vote. First, you have to register. Find out more at nativevote.org, brought to you by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:06 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Jeff Brown filling in for Shona Stresser, who is performing Theater in the Wild right now. I guess in the first part of the show, Robert Barr, Director of the Library, and Beth Weigel, who works with the Youth Services Division. Thank you very much for coming down the station, everybody.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks for having us, Jeff.
So, library going on.
Library's going on, yeah. Of course, it's been summer reading program. We've had some great times this summer, but summer is, as we can maybe tell from the temperature outside, winding up. So that means summer reading program's winding up. But we do still have a few fun programs this month in August. And so one of the last things for our summer reading program will be a teen clothing alteration party on the 17th of August. And that'll be kind of the windup of our summer programs. And we'll still have the ability to turn in any of the games that you've been playing this summer, whether it's been reading the chapter books or the picture books to earn a free book or the reviews. Get those all in next week, and then we'll draw for the winners for the teen reviews and the tablet and some other prizes, as well as the adult reviews they're not really reviews, the adult reading program. If you've read four books and turned in a form, you've been entered into the adult summer reading program drawing for something really exciting and awesome, including coupons to restaurants and
I think it's a tablet.
And tablet, I think, yeah. As well, yeah. So
what was the theme this year for the reading program?
It was Fizz Boom Read. So we had a little bit of a science theme to it, and we've had some fun with our Science Fridays and other programs that we've done throughout the summer. So it's been a big success, and we've had a lot of really great reviews. I had just cracked up, you know, reading some of them today as I was awarding them. They're just really great. For example, one young man who read a book called Don't Smile at Monkeys, he wrote, or she wrote, thanks for the warning, I'm never going to smile at a monkey. So it's pretty funny. And
some of these reviews are great.
Yeah.
I guess I'll put my gorilla suit away.
Yeah. And then another little guy who wrote, he's 1.8 years old, his mom helped him with this, on Where the Wild Things Are by Maurice Sendak. Everybody loves that, you know, as a child. He wrote, I cried because I didn't want it to end. So we've had great fun looking at the reviews. I know you guys have been talking about them on We Like Kids, so thank you for that. And they show up on our library blog and some other spots. So if you haven't looked at the reviews from the kids this summer and you're still looking for things to read, that's a great, great opportunity to see what's been going on. So we are moving into the back-to-school mode, and one of the programs we have coming up actually on Monday here on the 11th is Getting into College, Understanding the College Admissions Process and the SAT and ACT. Bob Alexander's here, and he's been profiled in different places on National Public Radio, for example, and so he's coming to do a program on basically how to prepare for the SAT or the ACT, and that'll be on Monday, August 11th at 6 p.m. at the Mendenhall Valley Library. No need to register anything. You can just show up, but if you do have questions, you can give us a call at the library. And we also have another author visit happening before the month ends here on August 15th, and she's a local. So if you knew Kate Rue, she's now Kate Rue Bollinger, and she's back in town, and she's had this really great series of books called the Carly Keene books. She named her character, Carly Keene, after one of the great characters or writers, Carolyn Keene. That was the pen name for Nancy Drew. So Carly, this young, spunky Alaskan, goes off and has great adventures with her friend Francesca. And in this latest book, she gets somehow magically transported back in time, and it's 1846, and she's interacting with Charlotte Bronte as she's writing Jane Eyre. So I think that'll be an interesting visit with her, and that's going to be at the Douglas Library at 1 o'clock on Friday, August 15th.
And I think she's got a book signing at Hearthside Books about the 17th.
Yeah, sounds about right. So those are a couple of the things going on. We are taking a little break from our story times and toddler times for up until the last week of August there. So we'll start back up at the last week of August and be back on board with that. So in the meantime, the museum is still doing their history story times, and those are on Tuesdays at 11.
Margie Hamburger will be here tomorrow in the studio to talk about City Museum goings on.
That's
oh, great.
Robert Barr is also in the studio. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Jeff. It is great to be here. One of the things that I wanted to share today, I think you would particularly be interested in, back when the downtown library was opened, we had a project where we sold tiles for the entry lobbyway, and people could engrave their names or their favorite book titles or authors or their business or favorite quotation or saying, that kind of thing. And if I remember, well, I don't remember because I wasn't here, but I am informed that you helped on that project.
Yep. I'd like to help the library when I can.
Through the design, yeah. So as I'm sure many people know, especially everyone that's driving down Riverside Drive, that we are building a new library in the valley right next to the pool, the Aquatic Center. And one of the projects, you know, whenever you have a new library being built, you can be assured that there are many, many different funding sources. And we're learning of new ones every day. So we know that the majority of the funding, almost all of the funding, is secure and in place. We just found out a couple of weeks ago that we are the fortunate recipients of a $495,000 Rasmussen grant for furniture and equipment and technology and fixtures and that sort of thing. So that's fantastic. And one of the last remaining pieces of fundraising that the Friends of the Library is pursuing is a community contributions campaign, and the Friends and the Library are doing that by selling the bricks that will be on the face of the library. As you walk up into the building, that wall there is all brick, and those will be, we hope, purchased by members of the community that would like to engrave their names or a loved one's name or favorite title, author, that kind of thing, on them. And the Friends are selling those now at their website at friendsjpl.org.
And what does it cost for a brick?
It's $100 for one line of engraving and $150 for two lines. We thought that was a pretty good price. We sold the tiles back in '89 for $50 for one line and $75 for two lines. So with inflation and all of that, it's roughly equivalent.
Another thing that I know you're involved in is the Juno Vote.
Yeah. Juno Votes is coming along well. It's Juno Votes, for those who don't know, is a nonpartisan community project that really has a really simple goal of getting out the vote and helping everyone in our community become as informed as they want to be and as informed as they can be about what's going to be on our three ballots this election season. So we have three elections. We have the primary. Early voting is open now, and the day to vote in the primary, if you don't want to early vote, is August 19th. That's voting day. And then we have the municipal election on October 7th, and then the general election on November 4th. And Juno Votes has done some work. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/JunoVotes and connect with us there if you're a social media user. And we encourage everyone to get out and vote. You can, if you don't know where to vote in the August 19th election, you can find that out at the State Division of Elections website, which is really simple. It's elections.alaska.gov. If you can get on the internet, and if you can't get on the internet, you can always come to the library because we provide internet services to anyone that needs them. We just recently did a panel discussion on Senate Bill 21, which is one of the things that you can vote on in the primary election. That is ballot measure one. You've probably seen the advertisements around town and in the media for the vote yes and the vote no campaigns.
You can't escape it.
You can't. No, it's all over the place. And so we did a panel on that. So if you don't know a whole lot about what that is and you're interested, you can watch a recap of that. It was reposted. The whole discussion was recorded on 360 North.
All right. A lot of things going on, and a lot of them center around the downtown and Valley Library and also the Douglas Library. Must we forget them?
That's right. Yeah. And if you can't remember everything we said here today, you can visit our website at www.juno.org/library. We're also on Facebook, and give us a call at any of our branches. We can tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
And I've been talking with Robert Barr, director at the library, and Shona Strasser, Beth Weigel, here to talk about youth activities. And thank you very much. Anything you would like to add, I might have forgotten to ask.
We're just reminding everybody that library programs are free, so come on down to the library and enjoy some free programming.
Yeah.
And thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks.
Saturday morning and the rain is pouring. Dad worked late last night. He's in there snoring. Same old stuff on TV. Boring. So what if I can't go out and play? I know what I'll do today. I'm going down to the library, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Gonna say hi to the dictionary, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Now I like books and they like me, so when I go to the library, I sit down in my favorite chair and check to see who's there. Maybe one book, maybe two. Take me home, says Winnie the Pooh. And if we have to travel far, I'll bring my honey jar. Oh, I'm going down to the library, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Gonna say hi to the dictionary, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Sleeping Beauty yawned and said, I'll come when I get out of bed. But Madeline says, let her nap, and jumps into my lap. The Cat in the Hat says, hey, I'll go. Don't take him, cries Pinocchio. Don't take that cat to your address, he always makes a mess. Oh, I'm going down to the library, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Gonna say hi to the dictionary, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Mrs. Parker's back behind the checkout desk today. The Cheshire Cat jumps on her head and says, let's play. But Mrs. P says, goodness, are you sure you want all these? Oh, yes, we shout together, she says, shh. Out a book, check it in, check it out. Gonna say hi to the dictionary, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. The seven dwarfs begin to shout, say, take us with you, check us out. Then Cinderella gets her gown and Babar grabs his crown. And then Curious George swings from the shelf, along comes Mother Goose herself. Out the door we danced and sang, the whole library rang. I'm going down to the library, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Gonna say hi to the dictionary, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. I'm going down to the library, shh, picking out a book, check it in, check it out.
Time is 3:19 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. Some Tom Chapin music. In the studio with me now is Sonny Pittman. He's a filmmaker. He's just completed a skate and skateboarding film. It's showing this August 8th at Centennial Hall at 6:30 and also at 8 o'clock. Sonny, thank you for coming down to the station today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So it's called Local Heroes, the Brosis.
The Brosis, yeah. Brosis. Yeah, it's our little term for bros, homies, just kind of a joking term. But yeah, I mean, we all know who the local heroes are, but when you come together to do big projects, it takes all your friends, and I always thought that would be the concept behind my movies, to have, you know, the friends kind of included in, you know, the movies.
Are you a skateboarder yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
And a skater as well?
Yeah, skate, snowboard, and film.
Well, how'd you get the idea to do the movie?
Just growing up, there used to be a couple of different guys that made movies here in Alaska, and I hadn't seen any really done in a while, so I wanted to try to do some of the ideas I always had.
Such as?
Just different ways of editing, and then, you know, listening to music, like you just start thinking of video parts and how you would clip the songs together for the music and for the person. I don't know, just like a lot of different ideas like that.
And what kind of gear did you use?
A lot of GoPros for first-person shots. My buddy Matt Hubbard let me use his really nice Panasonic HD camera. Adobe Premiere, I use that for editing, so I spent a lot of time in front of my computer in post-production.
How much did you shoot?
The film itself is like 40 minutes long, but I filmed for 7 months. Some of the footage went to some edits I made for Eagle Crest for their YouTube page, but I kept all the really good stuff, the backcountry riding, some of the contest stuff that I thought was really, really good, I used again or just didn't show at the first edits. So, yeah, I shot so much, I don't even know, every weekend for 7 months.
What kind of locations did you go to get shots? People said, no, I can't do that.
Most of the guys were actually really ambitious to go to those spots. So it was a matter of just following the guys that I saw that had the ambition to go as far as the backcountry mountain went. And then different street spots around Juneau. And then our local skate park, Pipeline, they have a lot of good talent out there.
How many people are involved in the play, in the movie? Excuse me.
There's over 30 riders, but there's six main parts. Max McVeigh, he's a younger guy who's got a really good snowboard, skateboard part. Sam Buck, Jarrett Thomas, Monty Nix, Timmy Flood, and myself and Devin Frugier share a part. But there's a lot of younger guys, skiers, Barkley, Julian Mim. Yeah, there's a lot of riders in there.
Is there what you call a plot in it?
No, most of it is just kind of showing off, you know, some of the mountain, some of the riding. It's, just a modern kind of skateboard video, snowboard video.
Could you talk about one of the most extreme moves that, or tricks that you videoed?
Oh, there's a trailer out, so you can check some of that out. But, I mean, I want to save all the good stuff for the movie.
And you used the editing software at Premiere?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Adobe Premiere.
Is that something you'd encourage other people to try?
I really liked it, and there's a lot of good tutorials on YouTube where I just started using it over a year ago, and whenever I was kind of curious on something, I could YouTube most of the things, and I would figure it out from there. And then I actually knew a couple of guys who had made movies in the past and talked with them, and they would show me things here and there. So, I mean, that's just another great thing of having your friends involved and just being in Juneau, being like a tight-knit little community of so many people.
Sounds like a lot of fun. What were some of the fun moments that you remember?
Every moment, everyone sticks something really big. If you've skateboarded or snowboarded and like worked on filming, I mean, you pack around your equipment for an hour to get to a snowboard jump, and you maybe capture 4 or 5 seconds of a clip. So there's so much more that isn't shown as much in the movie. Because it wasn't something I wanted to highlight in this movie, but the times where we go build big jumps and people ride it out, those are great moments. Street skateboarding, getting away from the park and getting stuff where the cement's rough, it's more unforgiving. There's times where I actually would hit record on the camera, run up the street to see if there was cars coming or not, and if it was clear, yelling to the skater that it was good to go, and then they would come do their trick, and that's some of the filming process we would go through, and you don't see that part. I didn't choose to show that in this movie. There's other times where maybe I will, but this one I really wanted to hammer away a lot of the good tricks and show off the talent.
What kind of projects are you working on next?
I'm kind of torn. I wanted to do a history of the skateboard park. I think a lot of kids don't really realize that that was started with one lady's idea and some high school students. And, you know, with their work for over a year, it took only a year, I think, or a year and a half to get a place for the skate park, and it's like a $1 million-plus, you know, place that we get to skate for free. Not every city has that, and I think it would be really cool to go back and do a little documentary on that. I found tapes from the beginning when that was going on, and there's Scott Baxter, who owns Aurora Project. He was making movies back then, and he has a lot of footage that he was willing to donate and work on with. So that's one of them. That one will take a while. And then just working on my next video, which will be out next year, which is Work to Live, Live to Ride with the Brosis. And that's kind of more the filler-in stuff that I was talking about, the stuff people don't see or think about. With Southeast Alaska, we have a lot of guys that fish all summer so they can make money just to snowboard all winter. One of my buddies who snowboards all winter, he cuts down trees. You know, a lot of these jobs are kind of, for lack of a better word, extreme. But, you know, they're harder on a people, and it creates a different kind of personality. But I think it makes everybody look at things differently. So they take whatever experience they have, and they take it to the mountain, to the skateboards, whichever way they want to go. And it's another way of expressing ourselves, too.
I just have to ask, when you're street skating, did you have any problem with the police?
I haven't in the last couple of years, but I haven't skateboarded down close to the cruise ships as much. It's normally, that's the only issue. That's where the money comes in. So I understand they want, you know, to kind of have that area guarded a little more in some sense. When I was younger, I used to get really annoyed. But now I understand it a little more, especially working in tourism for a couple of years. So, I mean, there's a lot of good street skateboarding spots where you don't have to go there. So we tried to find some of those spots, film that, and yeah.
Do you have a favorite spot?
I do.
Do you want to tell me?
No, it's a secret. I don't want it to get overpopulated.
Do you have any advice for people who might be saying to themselves, yeah, I want to do a movie too, whether it be a street or skateboarding movie or what?
Yeah, I say go for it. I mean, right now is the best time in the world to do it. When I was a kid, there wasn't as much technology and there wasn't as many things for people to just pick up and do. GoPros are really limited on their shots, but, I mean, you could still make a fun video with them, and I think a lot of people are already starting to do that, so I say just go for it. Like I said, there's enough tutorials out there if you have questions on your editing or anything like that where you'd be able to do it. And if not, I mean, just post something. People will start responding to it with suggestions for what you can do.
You mentioned a trailer. Where can people watch a preview of it?
You can go on YouTube and just type in Sonny Pittman. It has some of the work I've done for Eagle Crest, other projects, and then the trailer for Local Heroes and the Brosif is on there.
Sounds cool. Again, those are showing that film is showing at 6:30 and 8 o'clock at Centennial Hall this August 8th, which is a Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yep, actually tomorrow.
Time goes by fast, doesn't
it? It does, yes, especially when you're editing.
So, Sonny Pittman, thank you very much for coming down to the station. Is there anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask. How much does it cost to get in?
It's just $5, so come down. If you want to throw some extra cash, we're going to have a little donation thing for the skate park. If you were to write checks, it would be through the Juneau Community Foundation. We're just raising extra money so we can buy wood, and the city, if you know they approve our stuff, you know we get to build it, and they've been really supportive in the last few years on projects we've approached them with, which we're very thankful again for a city that's this nice to skateboarders.
And Sonny Pittman, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
All right, thanks for having me.
Time is 3:30 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on the Juneau Afternoon. Our next guest is Jennifer Walker, who's working on some parenting workshops, particularly the Love and Logic Way. Jennifer, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
So the Love and Logic Way, can you expand on that, please?
Sure. The Love and Logic, in a nutshell, is a parenting philosophy where they emphasize taking good care of yourself, which means setting limits and thinking about what you allow and are able to do, and also taking care of yourself so that you stay calm, and then handing the problems back to kids in loving ways.
Cool. How and where did the program develop?
The program started in Colorado. The founders are Jim Fay and Charles Foster Klein, and it has since expanded to include Jim Fay's son, Charles Fay. So it's still run out of Colorado, and they developed the program, and then they let independent facilitators run the parenting courses throughout the country so that, you know, the parenting can touch the rest of the country.
It's got a 30-year track record. You must have been doing something right.
Yes, definitely. It's really garnered a lot of support and a lot of Love and Logic fans. And I think for me, personally, as a parent, some of the things that help me the most are they give you the words to say. So, you know, when kids do those frustrating things and you're so angry, your mind kind of goes into lizard mode, and they've given you the words to say so you don't have to think about it, which I super appreciate. And I think, you know, where they're emphasizing and helping parents stay calm is just so powerful, and it works. It works, which is why it's been around for 30 years.
What are the goals?
The goals are stay calm, and they give you what to say and a couple techniques to do that. One of the first goals is to neutralize any arguing, because when you set limits with your kids, they're going to probably argue about them, whether they're 2, whether they're 14, whether they're 27. So that's a pretty powerful technique, is to be able to neutralize any arguing or backtalk. And then again, really to hand those problems back in a loving way and let the child learn from the consequence. And they also, within that, have ways that instead of the child being angry at the parent, the child is angry at the consequence, which that's what allows them to learn from the consequence instead of just feeling like the parent's a big mean ogre.
I'm intrigued by the lizard remark.
Yeah, that comes from, I was a teacher for 7 years, and my classroom management training book talked about going into your lizard brain, and that's what happens when we get angry. We're all the way down into the base of our brainstem. It's our lizard brain, where it's ruled by emotion, not logic. And so that's why it can be so hard when you're angry to like, calmly say the right thing, which is, again, why I appreciate Love and Logic, because they give me the words to say. It's simple, it's short, it's like 2 or 3 words, and I can say it even when I'm in my lizard brain.
When is the workshop?
My next course starts next week. It'll be on Mondays and Wednesdays, August 11th through the 28th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Birth Center. This is a dinner session. Because it's 6 to 8 in the evening, I serve dinner for the parents, and it also it includes child care for up to 2 kids, and so the dinner's for the kids as well. I've got 2 other courses coming beyond that. One is a weekend intensive, and it's 2 Saturdays. I believe it's the 23rd and the Saturday after that, so those are 9-hour Saturday days. And then I've got a 6-week session coming up, and it starts on September 2nd. That'll be on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Birth Center.
Is there a fee involved?
Yes. The cost of the course is different depending on which course you take, because the more food I provide, the more it costs, obviously. So the more expensive one's the dinner one, and the cheapest option is the Sunday session, because I don't provide food more than just like little snacks at that one.
Could you give me an example of a word or two that, or a phrase or two that might work just to get those people on the fence, or maybe I'll go to the workshop, maybe not?
Absolutely. So in neutralizing arguing, they emphasize sticking with a one-liner, and they've got lots of different ones out there that you can choose. But the one that I normally use is just, I know. So when my son argues with me, I, instead of engaging with him, I just go, take a deep breath, I know. And I repeat that for whatever he says. So, but I want it, I know. But it's not fair, I know. But mom, I know. And I just keep saying that until he's run out of steam.
When you said one-liners, I imagine one like, take my dad, please. So could you give us some contact information, please?
Yes. The best source for information in terms of when I'm offering my courses, the prices, and registering for the courses themselves is my website, joyfulparentingjuno.com. Again, that's joyfulparentingjuno.com. And I'm super happy to be reached by phone or email. My phone number is 500-8929. And my email is patergen, P-A-T-E-R-J-E-N, at gmail.com.
How does this differ from other parenting programs?
Well, for me, again, one of the big things is it gives you the words to say, and the words are simple. It's not any complicated script. It does really emphasize handing problems back to the kid, which I love for a number of reasons. As a teacher, that's when I first encountered Love and Logic. I really felt like it was my job to make kids do their homework. And after my Love and Logic training, I realized I don't have the power to make them do their homework. I have the power to make it possible, to entice them, to engage them, to support them, to do lots of things to help them, but I can't physically sit in the chair and do it for them. And so really understanding as a parent what we have a power to do and what we kind of don't, what's out of our hands, is just, for me, it was a paradigm shift. It really just changed my life. It changed my thinking. It changed how I interacted with students. It changed me as a parent and even just how I interact with other humans.
What kind of special training did you have to go to?
I went to a conference in Colorado. It was a 3-day training with Jim and Charles Fay, and they it's kind of like an intensive Love and Logic training overhaul. And it was mostly a lot of tips about the techniques themselves and a little bit of tips about, you know, kind of how to set up your course and run it.
I know.
I know.
All right, Jennifer Walker, thank you for coming by the station. And that phone number for people to get in touch with you by?
500-8929.
Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Yeah, just that I do support parents. Once they have taken the course, they're welcome to attend future courses. If it's without food, they can just show up. Otherwise, I just ask that they cover child care or food costs. I'm also running a once a month Love and Logic support group potluck, which is completely free for past attendees. And then I'm always available by phone or email for support for parents if they have any questions or would like ideas for these techniques.
Jennifer Walker, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
Here's a piece of good advice. Think it over once or twice. Parents, though they don't deserve it, remember they're grown-ups, a difficult stage of life. They're apt to be nervous and overexcited, confused from their daily storm and strife. Just keep in mind, though it sounds odd, I know, most parents once were children long ago. Incredible. So treat them with patience and sweet understanding in spite of the foolish things they do. Someday you may wake up and find you're a parent too. just keep in mind,
keep in mind,
though it sounds odd,
I know most parents once were children long ago.
Incredible!
So treat them with patience as we understand it.
It's the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 7th of August, 2014. It's the birthday of the anthropologist Louis Leakey, born in Kabete, Kenya, 1903. Parents were Anglican missionaries. At a time when most anthropologists believed that human beings had originated in Asia, Leakey and his wife Mary found an early fossil ape skull about 40 million years old, believed to be the skull of the ancestor of all the large primates. And then, in 1959, another hominid skull, almost 2 million years old, the oldest skull of a close human relative ever found at that point, and helped persuade other anthropologists that Africa was indeed the place where human beings had evolved from. It was on this day, 1934, the U.S. Court of Appeals ruled that the novel Ulysses by James Joyce was not obscene. It had been banned in this country in 1920. The battle for Guadalcanal began on this day, 1942, Solomon Islands in the South Pacific. Japanese troops had started building an airstrip there the month before, and the Allies staged their first major offensive in the Pacific. 6,000 U.S. Marines landed and seized the airfield. It was a battle that went on from August up until February 1943, when the Japanese finally evacuated Guadalcanal. And it was on this day, 1947, that the raft, the Contiki, landed in Polynesia, having sailed from Peru. A Norwegian adventurer and zoologist, Thor Heyerdahl, put the raft together, 40-foot raft, balsa logs, in order to prove that it was possible that Polynesia had been settled by people from Peru and not from Asia, as most anthropologists believed at the time. He wrote a best-selling book about it, The Contiki Expedition, came out in 1948. Scientists, however, were unconvinced. And then in 2011, a Norwegian scientist presented evidence that shows a small amount of South American DNA in the genetic makeup of Easter Islanders. The scientist said Heyerdahl was wrong, but not completely. Here's a poem for today by Robert Bly, A Caterpillar on the Desk. Lifting my coffee cup, I notice a caterpillar crawling over my sheet of 10-cent airmail stamps. The head is black as a Chinese box. 9 soft accordions follow it around with a waving motion like a flabby mountain. Skinny brushes used to clean pop bottles rise from some of its shoulders. As I pick up the sheet of stamps, the caterpillar advances around and around the edge, and I see his feet, 3 pairs under the head, 4 sponge-like pairs under the middle body, and 2 final pairs at the tip, pink as a puppy's hind legs. As he walks, he rears 6 pairs of legs off the stamp, waving around the air. 1 of the sponge pairs and the last 2 tail pairs, the reserve feet, hold on anxiously. It is the 1st of September. The leaf shadows are less ferocious on the notebook cover. A man accepts his failures more easily, or perhaps summer's insanity is gone. A man notices ordinary earth, scorned in July with affection, as he settles down to his daily work to use stamps. A Caterpillar on the Desk by Robert Bly from his collection The Morning Glory, published by Harper and Row and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.
Tonight on 360 North, it's Rain Country Reflections at 8 and Alaska Magazine Television at 8:30. Learn what's available from the Alaska Legal Services Corporation on AARP Alaska at 9. The Aviators is at 9:30. And China's Challenges is at 10. This week, China can produce. Can China create? In order to fully modernize, China must stress innovation and protect intellectual property rights. Tonight on 360 North and 360north.org.
Time is 3:46 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. In the studio with me now is Sandy Fortier, here to talk about things going on in the artistic world.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming down.
All right, we actually have quite a bit of things going on in the next week in Juneau. So that's good. We have the Salmon Derby going on this weekend. Of course, everybody knows about that. So, but if you're not,
you can't catch fish if you don't wade a line.
All right, there you go. but other than that, maybe before you go out or when you're taking a break. Okay, tomorrow, Friday, we have the Oregon concert at the State Office Building Atrium. That's every Friday, just in the atrium. You can go eat lunch. That's free. Another thing, it might be too late this week, but I want to tell you that there's a UCOMICON in the Yukon, and they're having, it's like Comic-Con, but up north. So you should check that out for next year. It looks like they have really pretty good guests. That's happening this weekend. Maybe there's some things online you can find about that. It's not local, but maybe we'll try to bring it here.
Maybe a website. It's kind of fun to look at.
Yeah, yeah. And then tomorrow, tomorrow is the second to last Food Truck Friday at the Jack, and that's from 5:30 to 7, and there's live music. Three groups, the Juno Cello Choir is at 5:30, Grayscale, a jazz group, is at 6, and Rorschach Pattern, which is improv, is at 6:30, and that's all at the Jack. It's free. There's food trucks, artists who want to come and sell their wares, and music inside. And tomorrow, also Friday, Dan Hobson's playing at the Gold Room, and the Gold Town Nickelodeon is showing a film called The Human Experience on Saturday. The Canvas has a bunch of classes, wheel throwing, and call them and see what other things they have going on, because they pretty much have something you could participate in every day. That's at the Canvas. Saturday night, the Juno Lyric Opera has the Summer Vocal Festival with Byron McGilvery, and that's at Thunder Mountain High School. So local musicians have been vocalists. That's what I was trying to say, localists.
I'm glad it's not just me.
I know. I kind of like that, though. They've been preparing this Broadway show all week with Byron McGilvery, who is a guest conductor, and the concert is tomorrow. Nope, Saturday. Saturday night, sorry. Thought it was Friday. Okay, keep going. This Sunday, is Music on the Fly concert series, and that's at the Juneau Airport. And it's the Juno Jambuster Ukulele Group. That's free. That's Sunday, 6:45 to 7:45. So anybody's welcome. You don't have to be flying in or out. Anyone can come. And then Monday, the Canvas has a bunch of things going on. Clinket basket weaving, youth wheel throwing, youth glass mosaics. So definitely get in on that at the Canvas. And then Monday night, we have an intro to belly dance class in the Lemon Creek area at the North Street Studio. I'm going to do that someday. All right, keep going.
Please do.
Tuesday, August 12th, history story time at the museum. That's free at the Juno Douglas City Museum. That's from 11 to 11:30. And they have their walking tour every Tuesday and I think Thursday. That's at the City Museum also. Tuesday night, their AEYC is putting on at the Juno Empire, Get Into the Business of Caring, because they're trying to solve this child care thing going on. So that's Tuesday night, 6:30 to 7:30. And then Wednesday seems to have a lot of things going on the 13th. From 10 to 11 is Write for Your Life at the Mendenhall Library. And then you can go over to Juno's Douglas City Museum, do a walking tour. And then later that night, 6 to 7:30 on Wednesday, there's a women's art support group at AWARE. And there's hula at the Filipino Community Hall from 6 to 8. And from 7 to 9 is Old Time String Band Jam at the Alaskan. So I guess you'll have to choose between which one you want to do there. Next Thursday, there's a baby, Beyond Babies Blues Mom Support Group at the Juno Birth Center. And looks like Utter Culture has their community gaming night, which is weekly. And there's Karaoke Night at McGivney's. I think that's weekly, too. That's later in the night on Thursdays. So kind of blew through that. There's more. Those are kind of the highlights. There's more on the community calendar that the Jack and K2 maintain. And if you want to find out more, that's jahc.org. And we just put up a new handy form. So if you want to get your events listed, you can just go fill out a form and it goes on our calendar and then we can mention it whenever we're talking about what's going on around town.
A lot of things going on. But if you'd like to be on a Juno afternoon to talk about your events, please give me a call. My name is Jeff Brown. Phone number is 463-6425.
Yeah, that's a good way to...
A lot of the times I'm looking through the Arts Council calendar to find out who to call in to be on a Juno afternoon. So thank you for providing that great service out there.
Yeah, thanks. It's a good partnership we have here with you.
All right, Sandy Fortier, thank you so much for coming down. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No, just check out the calendar and get involved.
All right, thanks for coming by.
This is Bird Note. Have you ever experienced a magical moment with birds? Perhaps a chickadee landed on a tree branch right next to your shoulder, or an eagle flew directly over you, so close you could hear its wings. Here's another magical moment. Imagine standing in your garden on a hot August day, watering some parched flowers. After mindlessly holding a hose for several minutes, you see a small yellow and gray warbler flutter into the spray for a shower. The yellow-rumped warbler, probably a migrating bird midway through its fall travels, is unafraid of your presence. In and out of the spray it zips, relishing the moisture. For a moment, it lands on a nearby branch to fluff its feathers and shake away the larger drops. Then the warbler flies back to the spray, dancing through the shower of droplets again and again. You stand in awe. What could be more delightful than offering refreshment to a worn-out migrating warbler that will return next spring to sing this song? See the yellow-rumped warbler at birdnote.org. For BirdNote, I'm Michael Stein. Thank you.
Time is 3:58, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. Coming up tomorrow on Juneau Afternoon, we'll get an update from Paul Rosenthal about Juneau Jazz and Classics and Yule Bailey's upcoming concert. Margie Hamburger will be here to highlight the upcoming Juneau Douglas City Museum events. We'll talk with Catherine Wilkins about the Juneau Cello Choir, and the Coco Diva will be here along with the improv performer Mike Christensen. Both of those appearing at the Food Truck Friday for this week, as is the Juneau's Cello Choir as well. At Red Isonic, Burnout Music and More tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon. With the forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy skies with scattered showers, patchy fog later on, low temperatures 48 to 52 degrees above zero. Friday, patchy fog in the morning, scattered showers in the morning, then rain likely in the afternoon with high temperatures around 60 degrees. With the forecast for Friday night, rain, low temperatures around 51, and forecast for Saturday, rain, high temperatures around 58 degrees. Thanks for listening. Next is All Things Considered.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We rebroadcast.